Hey, it's Jackie. My podcast, The Natural Healing Reel, features guests from all over the world. They're sharing their stories of natural healing modalities. My intention on the show is to aid people with alternative ways in healing, physically, mentally, and emotionally. This podcast recognizes the essential role that mainstream medicine plays in our daily lives, and in no way should this be taken as medical advice. Please seek the advice of a competent medical professional for your care as you see fit. And most importantly, take care. Hi there, it's Jackie, and this is the Natural Healing Reel. Today, I have a guest, and he is in talking with us today from Phoenix, Arizona. And there is a place called Scottsdale that is prime real estate that he is sitting on right now, which I'm very jealous about. Steve Wilson, welcome to the Natural Healing Reel.
Thanks, Jack. Glad to be here.
Glad for you to come. We're going to talk about some of your incredible challenges that you have experienced in your journey. And you have written a book and you are sharing that process, and hopefully your message helps others that are also coming across that journey.
Yes, and I really enjoyed writing the book. It was fairly easy. It just took a while because before I embarked on that journey, I had gone to a trauma therapist because I had, even though I was in pretty good and have been in pretty good shape for 20 or 25 years, I had some necessary thoughts that bug me all the time that I had to get taken care of. So she said, well, let's start and go through your life from your earliest childhood memory till today. And we did this over several months, and I was able to come up with many, many things that I'd been through and in my life. And when we were done with that process, she said, Jesus, you know, you ought to write a book about all this stuff. So that was the first time I started thinking about it. And then that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And then I started the process quickly after that.
Good for you. And so Teetering on a Tightrope.
Yes.
And you published that at the end of 22. And it's about growing up. And you found out that you had bipolar disorder.
Well, when I was 9, after being, being a carefree kid for the first 9 years of my life, no problems, good home, everything nice, I was sexually assaulted, and that really changed everything.
I'm sorry. My heart just did a drop. I bet that did.
Yeah. What I did was never tell anybody, put it completely out of my mind, which is exactly the worst thing you can do because you get no help, no advice, no anything, and kind of shut down. And that was about fourth grade. And in fourth grade, I experienced my first bout of depression, and it was horrible. It always is horrible. You feel like you're worthless. You feel like you've got nothing to live for. Nobody likes you. You have no friends. You can't do anything. I couldn't study. My grades dropped dramatically, and that was the beginning of my life with depression. Now, but I didn't go to a child psychologist or anybody. I didn't do anything. So as it got worse, and then you got to realize one thing about bipolar and probably depression, they come and go. So you could be real bad for 3 or 4 months, and then all of a sudden you'll get better. So I was able to progress through high school and college, just living with the ups and downs. And then after I graduated from college, then it really hit and things got progressively worse. My family was no help. They didn't know what the hell was going on. They wouldn't have done anything anyway, although my mother did recognize that I needed some help and got me a psychiatrist she knew. because she had gone through depression in her life. Now, my first diagnosis was depression, and then the drugs did nothing. They made me sick, and nothing helped. And then 8 years later, it was my diagnosis changed to bipolar. I knew nothing about bipolar, never even heard of it. And so they put me on lithium, and I started my journey of getting better the first time I took lithium.
Okay, so can you just give us an explanation for those of us that don't have heard of bipolar, but don't really know what bipolar is? What are you experiencing if you have bipolar? And what do you think we should understand about if maybe somebody has bipolar and they don't know, or if, you know, somebody around them, what's going on?
Well, to tell you the truth, it is, in my opinion, many of these mental illnesses are intertwined. Yet some problems that are in depression and bipolar and some other illnesses are similar to bipolar. I guess the easiest way to talk about bipolar is when it comes out of the blue. When an episode comes, it comes out of the blue. It takes away all your feeling. You don't love anybody, and you don't feel like you love anybody anymore. You feel like you're trapped at the bottom of the ocean in a black bag, no way up. You have no feeling about anything making you happy. You'd rather die than be this way. Nothing. You have no feeling. Now, some people right away have suicidal ideations. I did not have that until I was about 22 or 3. The average age for the onset of bipolar is around 25. It affects most people at the beginning at about that age, and then they have it for the rest of their life. There is no cure, but there are many treatments. Now, you got to realize, I know your quest is working naturally to find a solution for someone's anxiety and so on.
Well, let me just integrate that.
Okay.
I am sharing that, but in my statement of natural healing, I'm not saying no, go to a doctor ever. I'm just sharing the fact that there is, as well as, like, we need doctors, and there's certain times when we need that, but I believe that there's so much more to integrate into helping us heal, so we're not just healing on a one level. Like, now we've got like an option of, you know, we've got five different layers of. And so, just so I'm not poo-poo on doctors at all.
Okay. I never assumed that in the first place. Good. But what I was going to say is, when I got diagnosed in the 70s, there was no natural healing at that time. There was nothing about it other than therapy and medication. And I want to tell you that we talk about medication all the time. The real fact is that medication only works about 50% of the time. So there's got to be other modalities to work for people, because I've seen in my group many people who are on medication, and if they're doing it right, taking their pills when they're supposed to, not stopping them on their own, still get no relief. So there's got to be natural way to help these people with their struggle with bipolar. And as I said, I had no choice back when I did it. You went to a shrink, and you told nobody that you were going to a shrink. You told nobody about your mind thoughts or anything, because everybody thought you were nuts. And
Steve, I don't think that that's changed much. I think that that is still the core of society's main understanding.
And I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, the judgment and the whole, they haven't stepped out of the box far enough to have a look at that until something happens to them or somebody close to them, where they have to break that down.
If you read my book, it's basically a lot of it is about my father and our interaction, which wasn't good. But I really don't know why. But anyway, if you get into the book, some things happen. But after I wrote the book, I sent a copy to my sister. In the book, I described everything in my life, good, bad, whatever. And I asked her what she thought of it. And she was very upset that I had put my father in a bad light. She didn't understand that this is my perspective and this is what really happened. She had a preconceived idea of what my father was like, and she wasn't going to give up that thought for what I had written.
No compassion for what you had endured or how.
None at all.
Interesting. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So she's got a lot of stuff buried there, right? So unfortunately, to just not her time yet.
Well, I won't go into that.
Yeah, I hear you. I think we've all got that family stuff. It's, sure. You know, it just wouldn't be any fun without it. You know, Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden and Joe Dispenza, they're all like doctors and scientists and on the leading edge of this type of work. And are you familiar with any of those?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, you would really enjoy, they have free videos on YouTube, and they are sharing the knowledge. And Bruce Lipton, he explains, and I was sharing this with you earlier, that from the time we're born and maybe even in the womb still till 5 or 7, everything as a child is we take on as our fault, or because we're children. And so the behavior of our parents, and my parents, they didn't have a good relationship. And you know, and I think that was common because they didn't have good relationships, right? And so I think every generation we're getting a little better, but there's still these deep, especially for the men, there's no that, you know, to love or to hug somebody or, you know, to show any kind of feeling or compassion. It seems that kind of showed that you were weak or, you know, so you guys were really shut down.
Yeah, but I think that's getting better now. As far as men showing their feelings, you know, I all my life, whenever I would see a friend of mine, we would shake hands. Well, in the last 10 years, we give each other a hug. So something's going on.
Absolutely. But not for everybody. Like, no, there's still, because they can't take the judgment. What's somebody going to think of me? Like, who cares? Right? Because they're going to think it anyways, right? They're going to think and say it, whether you do it or you don't. So, right? And anyway, it's so the bipolar, you know that you'll have it because something comes on and for no rhyme or reason, and you just get knocked over with a numbing, desolate feeling. And that can last for months.
Yes.
And then do you swing the other way and then go into feeling?
Well, there are two kinds of bipolar. There's bipolar one, which is mania and depression at different times. And the mania can destroy your life. You feel that you're invincible. You go out and spend a lot of money. You buy cars. You take people on trips. And then when the mania is over, you crash into depression. And if you look around, you've lost your wife, you've alienated your family, you're broke, and it is horrible. And I've seen, well, I just had a guy in my group the other day who was manic, and it's not a pretty picture because they talk so fast and they move all around and they're just out of control. And then it goes from that to getting into the real problems of the high mania. The bipolar 2 is what I am, and it's the deep, deep depression. I don't know if that depression is any deeper than when you have bipolar 1, but I have a suspicion that it is. And then when you get out of the depression, you go into, but it's in the middle. It's kind of like a high that feels kind of good, but you can still do some damage to yourself in that high. So they are different.
So you actually do a swing. Like you do feel like you're from one side to the other, and both sides are dramatic.
A very noticeable swing if you think back on what you've gone through, because in my life, it is from when I first noticed a depression until about the year 2000 or 1995, I would go like this. And it wouldn't be normal at all. It would be terrible. But I really didn't notice when I came out of a deep depression. It just happened. And a lot of people who have depression and then they come out of it, they hurt themselves badly by thinking, oh my God, when's this going to be over with? When's the next shoe going to drop? So all they think about is when the next depression is going to hit them.
So a lot of the understanding and work that I've done is exactly about that. It's about our thoughts, and it's incredible how, and most of what you've said is about the thoughts, and then what I've learned from Joe Dispenza and these other doctor scientists that I've told you about, that we're having 50 to 80,000 thoughts a day that's running like a computer chip in our head. And that's what you're listening to. But you're not alone having that. But people don't know about it because we don't have this knowledge in the mainstream. And so what's happening is then you have a trauma. Now that's going because now your nervous system's all messed up, right? And you're in fight or flight. And so that amps up. And then if you have another trauma, like I had a pile up of them and my nervous system was awful. I'd just be jammering inside. And until you kind of could get the brain, like it's brain trauma is what happens with that. Anyway, the work that they're doing now that you would love and would probably just love to share with your groups, because it's just common sense. When you hear it, you're like, yeah. And it's like, you know, anyway, we'll talk about that, because I think that, I know that everybody has to do this work. Nobody gets a free ride on that. And we have to be the watcher and listen to what we're thinking about. And we have to replace it, because it's unbelievable. It's kind of depressing though when you first start listening. I'll warn you.
Well, if we have 50,000 thoughts a day, you have bipolar, I don't know what the percentage of the process of ruminating takes over for those 50,000 thoughts. But one of the things that bipolar people go through is this rumination that is unbelievable. You cannot get a thought or two that is the same, meaning it, and it just goes through your mind helter skelter all the time, and you can't stop your brain from thinking about it.
So thank you for clarification on that, and keep sharing about that, because that's interesting. I didn't really pick that up originally. So you're not having two thoughts. You're having a thought and then all of a sudden you're off on another thought. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yes. And then you're saying you have 50,000 thoughts a day. When I was really going through it, probably 30,000 of those thoughts were just two or three different things that were really on my mind and bothering me. And some of those thoughts are stupid. Supposing I would go to a party and say something to someone that wasn't very nice. Bam, that what I did would go into my mind. And for the next few days or a couple weeks, that would just run through my mind. How could I do that? What is he thinking because of what I said? I've ruined his life, and can't get it out of your mind.
So I think everybody experiences that. I think that we all have that because we don't know how to control our thoughts. Like we don't know how to be in charge of our brain.
Like, well, take what the normal person thinks about when they, in their own way, ruminating, and times that by 100 when you're bipolar or depressed. Yeah.
Well, you know, and like my thought right there is, how do you not take medication for that? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I did finally get medication for that in somewhere around 2000, and it cleared up about 80% of it. Well, I still ruminate, but not like I did before. So there is medication. And there are also treatments other than medication. As I said, only 50% of people respond to the medication. So there's got to be other things. And there are. There's other modalities such as EMDR and some of these other ones. There's a magnetic one. And if you are unfortunate enough not to get any help, you ought to look into all of these different things, because they can. In my group, people talk about them and they get some great results. My question is, how long does it last and can you keep doing it? So that I have no answer for.
To me, when you say that, it makes me think, if you're not changing the thoughts, then it's going to come back, because it's the thoughts that are creating the feeling, and then the feeling then attracts more like this from the universe of that same energy, right? And so,
well,
when we're struggling and we're like, oh, what else, you know, blah, 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 we keep getting more of that same trap, not really knowing that we're attracting it, because where we're the energy vibration that we're hanging out in, apparently, is what we're supposed to be knowing and understanding, so we can get up out of it to not attract any more of that. But
what I found was that I had to get closure for each horrible running thought I had. So in other words, it wouldn't go away until I did something to alleviate it. And after I did that, such as write him a letter and apologize or whatever, or call him up and apologize, until I did that, the thought would remain in my mind.
So well, I had to save language then. You had to clear it up. You had to clear up what those thoughts were. Yeah. And so we're talking the same language. Like they're saying, you know, these things that happened that we perceived as little children that are still then coming at us in with different relationships, but the same underlying, you know, unworthiness or, you know, fear or whatever it is that we're experiencing. We apparently just are continuing to have different situations, but the same type of thing because we haven't released it. That energy is blocked inside because we like held on to it thinking that we were bad and guilty. And then the more we think about it, the bigger it gets and what we think about expands. So it's all of that stuff, right? And you know what? I think that this information that's coming out right now that they are now able to, you know, prove without a doubt that this is exactly what's happening. And here's the formula, right? And it's not hard. It's breath work. It's clearing, you know, clearing the mind, doing, you know, their, you know, a meditation maybe once a day where you just can listen to something and follow along. But it's if you can perceive like whatever happened differently from a broader perspective, that's what I always ask for. Like, you know, show me how I can see this from a broader perspective, because clearly I'm stuck. You know, things aren't moving for me and I'm not happy with what I'm looking at and seeing. So, you know, how can I view this in a different way? And so what you're saying is what I'm saying, but we're just sharing it differently.
Yes. Yes. Let me ask you a question. Because when I asked to be on this podcast, I was intrigued because it was natural therapy, but I don't know what that means.
I love that you just said that. That's great. Well,
so, tell me.
It's activating. So we are pretty dynamic beings inside, and we don't really know that we are. And so inside our pineal gland, which is like our third eye, it's in the center of our head. There's like a little acorn inside of that eye of Horus, right? And what's happened is it's all calcified over. Well, that's our natural pharmacy. That has all the serotonin and the DMT, oxytocin, like all of the stuff that we need for our body to heal and to not take a medication that's not natural to our body. Like we cut ourselves, we watch our body heal itself, right? So apparently through, they think, you know, just the different shots that we've had as vaccines and which, I mean, that's controversial, and the fluoride that we get, what's in the water, it's calcified over that little, what looks like a little Christmas tree, and we don't have access to it. And so Dr. Joe, he was in a bad bike accident. Well, he healed himself in 8-10 weeks. Like he was broken back, you know, in a triathlon and got hit by a car and kept dragging him down the road. And he was not going to have a life anymore, but he, you know, laid there and visualized and re-saw his body each day. He was a chiropractor, so he knew how all of back was. And he just kept visualizing that. And every day he would do it. And every day he'd come back and all of a sudden the thoughts would come in. What are you going to do with your practice? And how are you? Da, 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 da. And he doesn't want to live anymore because he, you know, he can't live like that in a body cast and not be able to, you know, paralyzed type thing. So finally he said by week 4 or 5, he was able to get through the visualization of feeling and seeing himself whole and totally perfect as he is. And literally he was back to work at 10 weeks. He was back at the gym at 8 weeks. He healed himself. And every top doctor, they were like, you're crazy. You got to have this surgery. Like do you understand what you're doing? And he's like, well, I don't want to live like that. So his story is pretty phenomenal, but it's happening all over the place. And then I went to one of his week-long advanced trainings, and literally what I was seeing and experiencing is just what a meditation and breathing to help open up and get all the nerves and everything back activated, right? And so apparently if the nerves aren't talking to each other, then we get the heart problems and we get disease because they're damaged or whatever's happened. So by doing this breath work, and you're breathing all the way up to the top of your head, and it shakes by holding it up there, then he'll be like release it. It actually shakes off these crystals, and it's incredible in that little space. And he explains it all, because he was teased so bad by all the doctors, and you know, he's in the woo-woo stuff, but it's been proven over and over and over again that we have the ability to totally heal ourselves.
How many people can do this? Because thousands
all over the world.
One in a million.
No, this is what's happening right now. There's this huge movement and understanding of, here's the body, here's the energy centers. This is what happens. The lower energy centers is where we'll hold jealousy and fear. And that's kind of around the belly area. And the base chakra, your root chakra, is where we kind of ground and are a part of this incredible vast universe that we're living in, that we think we're the only ones. Like, it's just, we have just not been given the knowledge that is actually being accessed right now. And it's incredible. It's really incredible what's happening. The heart-brain coherence, they found out that the heart has a brain. And they just found that out like not that long ago. And so through the breath, breathing and opening up the heart, it quiets the brain. So you get this heart-brain coherence, which puts you into like beta or, you know, one of the, and that's where just before you fall asleep, that's the state that they try to get you into, because that's where instant healing is happening. Like, I saw a man get out, he had a stroke. He was walking on the tree along the tree. He'd got second day, had 40% of his hearing back. So it's not one person. He's doing these all over the world, and he's not the only one. Like, there's thousands of people that are at these seminars, and they're understanding and learning how their body works. And it's definitely new information to us, but it's centuries old.
Like, is it taking hold in the United States?
Oh yeah. Joe Dispenza, he lives in the Northwest. Yeah. It's very much so. Greg Braden, they're all in the US, those guys.
Okay. Well, that's definitely
incredible information that they're sharing with like a lot of people. So if you would be open enough to have a look at it, I think that you would really, really love what they're sharing, because when they're sharing it, you know without a doubt that that's the truth of it.
Let me tell you that one of the things about the medication that we take that helps us get back to some kind of recovery is the damage that long-term taking the same medication can do to your body. In my case, I took lithium for 22 years, and it destroyed my kidney, and I just recently had a kidney transplant.
Wow.
I took another drug. It was an old-time antipsychotic that I got in the 70s, and I found out when I got this condition called tardive dyskinesia, and it affected my eyelids. They went into spasm continually all day long. The only relief I got was from sleeping. And that was directly caused by the antipsychotic. So if there is a big drawback to the medication, is you don't know what the hell is going to happen. But you have to decide, am I going to live with these illnesses, meaning the kidney disease or the tardive dyskinesia? Am I going to stop taking the medication and letting them go away? Or am I going to say, screw it, I'm feeling so much better, I'll let the drugs keep working and whatever happens in the future happens. And you see that in my groups all the time, with people saying, I'm taking the medication, I'm getting better, but I've gained 50 pounds. And then they have a decision to make. Can they live with the 50 pounds extra, or do they go off the medication?
Yeah, that happened to my girlfriend, actually. And what's up with that weight gain? She was like 50, then it was 70 pounds. It just kept packing on her, which is then another, that's another huge problem. And I think what's sad is that, you know, even when we're watching the commercials, you know, if you take this, then you could have a heart attack or a seizure or this and that. Like, it's like, holy cow. And then this drug interacts with this drug. My mom, she was on a basket by the time, and it was just out of control. She had also had a kidney transplant, a triple bypass, and cancer and diabetes and, you know, name it. She had it on there. And you're right. Like, that medication, it's not natural. It's not part of our body. And I guess the understanding that these natural modalities bring, and there's so many. And one is not for everyone. Like one looks at Joe's method, another one looks at what Greg Braden's saying, another one goes to the heart math and likes that. Or, you know, one likes to understand from Abraham Hicks, or Wayne Dyer was my favorite growing up. Like there's just Eckhart Tolle, like there's so many people that are explaining it so very simply. But now all of a sudden, they have scientific proof that is changing our whole story, our whole history. And you can't not, because it's proven. And it's interesting because it's not the same story that we've been told.
Well, I was wondering how much of a backlash do you get from the normal medical profession against what you're exposing versus the long history of how they treated mental illness?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that, you know, the big guys that are out there really shaking it up, like some of the ones that I've talked about, they probably do get a big backlash. But you can't just come off medication until you have the knowledge and the understanding of how, what it is that they're doing. And that way you can take charge of, you know, knowledge is power. And then if you understand how, without a doubt, everything is working. Like I went to doing this podcast. I've been so grateful to have met incredible people like yourself. And I went to, in the US, took my daughter and my boyfriend, and we went for a week to the Avirio Institute. And it's chiropractor. And they're getting all of the nerves all backfired up, and they're all damaged. But they do thorough report on your whole x-ray, your whole body. They can tell you how much trauma you've had. Like they can see everything. And they treat us for a week. And it was not like you're having an adjustment. It was like the nerves that are damaged, they get them rewired. And you sit in the massage chair and then you go for the brain thing. And you're moving around these 20 rooms for a whole day. Meanwhile, they're feeding you wholesome food and juicing and teaching you the basics of, you know, our body isn't made. There's no chemo isn't a part of our body. So we putting chemo in, it doesn't help fix the body. You got to put the food and the knowledge in there so that you understand that, you know, nerves that are wired together, fire together, whatever Joe says. But if they're not firing, they're not wiring. And so healing can't take place. Yeah, I wouldn't want to tell anybody to not go the route that we all only know, you know, with the doctors and medicine and chemotherapy and stuff. Because if you don't understand and know and have that, you know, without a doubt knowing, then you're not going to be able to create it, because we attract what we're thinking energetically, because it gives off that vibration. If you're in fear, all of a sudden you're broadcasting fear, right? Mm-hmm. And whether we like it or not, we don't, you know, maybe we think that people don't know, but whatever we're thinking, we're actually broadcasting, even though we're not saying it. So yeah, just learning there's so many just little tools, you know, just like the breath work that re-alkalines your body after like five breaths. And like, it's an exciting place right now to be. And we just didn't have this information. And most people still don't have this information. And so, I don't know, I lost my daughter. And, you know, the doctors had her on all kinds of Oxycontin. And, you know, it was, she took herself off it twice, but only to get put back on it again. It's a shitty system, you know?
I also had my daughter die.
Is that right? It's a horrible, horrible thing to have to go through. I'm sorry about that. How old was she when she passed?
25.
My daughter was, she would have been like 28 at the time she passed away. Yeah.
Cancer?
She didn't. She just had a second baby and she was struggling with depression and the after the baby syndrome, and whom she thought the baby was ended up coming back that it wasn't. And just whatever was going on was just, it was too much. And she bought, you take it for anxiety, Ativan.
Xanax, Ativan, yeah.
But not an Ativan, what's stronger than that?
Xanax.
It's maybe one of, yeah. And I guess it had the fentanyl in it. And
oh.
Yeah, and it took her. So, and that little girl, I mean, she took herself off of that, off like high levels where the doctor was reported for prescribing what she was on. And yeah, it's, there are other ways, you know? And so if that's, you know, what do they say? Doctors, lawyers, doesn't matter who you are. You get people on that, they can't get off it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, what's that? You know, you're going to someone, you're trusting them, and then they put you on a medication that ends up making you, you know, have five other diseases. Like, it's
an interesting thing. I know what you mean. Well, the problem with, as I see with what you were promoting as the natural way of doing things, I think it is a great way to go. But in this country, the big boys run the show. And if you get too popular, then what's going to happen? They're not going to let you grow in any way to change society. That's too bad. As I said, I had no choice when I was first ill. But after taking the medication that I took when they thought I was just depressed, I would have loved to have had an alternative way to go.
Yeah. And I think that there's an awareness that's happening right now, especially through all of the trauma that we as a society have been through. And the fear, I mean, that fear is going to kill you quicker than the COVID. I'll tell you that right now, the amount of suicides and the problems from the vaccine, like, it's just like a whole big ball of wax. And so I think we have to integrate different, you know, things to help ourselves, like emotionally and, you know, energetically. You know, that's what we're not aware of, how our energy is affecting our planet and others, right? You're driving down the road in a happy mood, and apparently you could be driving beside somebody because all of a sudden you're feeling irritated and you're like, don't know why. Well, you're picking up buddy's energy who's all pissed off next door to you in the car next door. And apparently it's just that, it's just gotten so intense right now. And so that knowledge is really, it's really important that we share that so that we have those choices, you know, because maybe you need to take the medication, but maybe it's not handling everything. So you can, you know that you've got these other handful of things that you can do for yourself as well, right?
And yes. I think my group members talk about breathing techniques and
it's huge.
Tapping and I can't think of all spinners and all these things that help them get through every day.
Yes, 100%. This is, and it's just, as a society, we don't know about it. We're not taught.
That's
right. Talked about, and it needs to be talked about. We need to be able to have, you know, here's your options. You got a handful of options. Up to you. You know, I want to take the doctor. Some people just want the medication and the doctor. They don't want to bother doing any other work.
Well, the problem with that I have found is that the medication is out there. You just have to give it enough time to find the one that works for you or the cocktail that works for you. But a lot of people say, well, this didn't fix me and I've taken it for a month, so screw it, I'm not going to take it anymore. So a lot of people play around with the drugs they're given and they don't let the drugs work. Also, if a drug doesn't work in about 6 weeks, the patient has to go back to his psychiatrist and say, this isn't working, I got to have something else, and really take control of their sessions with the psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's great advice, because we're all made up differently, right? We're all energetically feeling something different, even though we think we're talking the same language. We're all hearing something totally different, having a different experience in the same experience, right?
Right.
So your book is, we can purchase it on Amazon.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble and a couple other places. Like, is it on Apple iTunes? I think it is. But it's not a long book. 120 pages. It's a quick read. I believe it's very well written. And my big hope of writing this book was that it would get in people's hands, and not only to the people with bipolar and the people who were supporting and caring for those people, but I wanted to get into the hands of people who were skeptics about mental illness. They thought, well, you're just lazy, or, you know, go take a walk, you'll get over it. And they can see in this book that there's a lot of terrible things that happen with bipolar.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it, because that information we all need to know, because there's always somebody in your life, whether it be you, your family member, or a friend.
Right.
And having that knowledge, especially with that, because if we're struggling and you know that those people have no idea, and then they're on full judgment of you, which is just inflaming it to a whole other level.
Absolutely.
And telling you need to be somebody else and who you are, well, there's another whole other level. Like, it's just big, it's such a toxic cesspool, that whole lack of ignorance is what it is. So thank you for writing that and sharing your journey through that. I think it's huge. Right now, you're still struggling. You've got some lymphoma right now.
The lymphoma is under control. The kidney is doing very well. I had prostate cancer and a lot of other things. But actually, I'm in pretty damn good shape now and just enjoying the retirement years. I'm 74. Who knows what's going to happen from here on out?
Well, get some good visualizations going on, because they're pretty powerful.
You know what? I would like to learn about that stuff. But how do you know who the right person to go to is?
I think that if you would allow me to share with you Dr. Joe and them, they're brilliant people. They're normal, everyday people, just like you and I, who ended up, you know, like, they're, it's hard for them because they're going against the grain. But
why don't you email me their names and how to get in touch with them?
Yeah, because it's life-changing. I had a dark night of the soul in my pileup of traumas that happened in a short period.
You had traumas?
Yeah, I lost quite a few members of my family, all kind of right on top of each other, and then adopted my 3-month-old granddaughter at 54 years old, or how old was I then? Maybe I was 51 or two, but it was like, it was just like, you know, just trauma, trauma, trauma. My dad, my sister, my daughter's best friend, my it just kept coming and coming, and started it with a nasty concussion, and then had a couple more during that period to fall. Kept landing on my head, right? It was just like, okay, what do you want me to know? Yeah, it was an intense period, and grateful to be on the other side. I didn't know that I would actually function normally again, because I couldn't even make a salad. I would just go into straight overwhelm. But that knowledge and listening to Dr. Joe, it was magical. And I started this podcast because Brian Rose on London Real was interviewing Dr. Joe. And pretty much it was right after I got up off my knees and asked, you know, like, I was numb, like you were saying, and I'd never experienced that before. I'd had many people tell me about it, but you just, just too much, too much, too much, too much, all on top. And their work is phenomenal. Like, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to be so excited in sharing this with your groups. I promise you will. It's pretty great stuff. And they're so easy to listen to. And they have so many valuable tools, easy tools or intense tools. But the explanation and knowledge that you'll gain from listening to his podcast is phenomenal. So I'm totally all over that. I'm going to be like, and my dream is to podcast Joe Dispenza. And I actually have a letter going into him right now to invite him on the show. So,
cool.
Yeah. So I'm visualizing that.
You know how many listeners you have that are getting this new information?
How many listeners do I have? Mm-hmm. I don't know, a bunch of them. I have a bunch now. I don't really look at that, but I know.
I just wondered how much impact you are having through this podcast to get people awareness of this natural treatment.
Well, it seems to be growing very fast. And so that's exciting. I know for the big guys, they're, you know, millions and millions of listeners all over the world that are daily doing the work and interacting. Everybody's interacting. And it's I think the tipping point has happened. I think we've made a shift that is for the people, you know, to have a say in what's happening in our world for us. But we'll see that coming into another crazy time with the banks collapsing and stuff. So we'll have to see what comes out of all that craziness. All right.
It's scary.
Very scary. Don't go into fear though. Don't let it. I know it's so hard to, because that's what we see, right? And then that they're showing us all these horrible things. And then we're like, oh my God, right? How are we going to eat?
Yeah, but depending on who you listen to or watch, you're getting one side of the coin. If you listen to somebody else on TV or on the radio, you're getting another side. So it's splitting everything up.
Right? The great divide. It's divided families, friends, close friends. It's a very sad situation. But yeah, you just have to go with what is right for you, what, you know. And yeah. Anyway, you know what? It was really great to meet you and chat with you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You know, I'm really, really grateful that you've written that book and that you're sharing, you know, the journey, because more of us need to be able to do that, because it helps others. You know, somebody, you're making it through, and you did this and you did this, and this is what I did. Right. And then they take that, and then, you know, it can take it to the next level or whatever. But it's good that we're all sharing.
Well, I hope it has some impact. And if you know any other podcasts that would listen to my shtick, let me know.
Okay, I will.
And if you ever want to come and have a video conference with my group and tell them about, and I'm sure that those who are trying natural things don't have a clue how much is out there. So if you'd ever like to do that, you know, I get about 15 people in each group. So something to think about.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could share my podcast with them and see what they think. Because I've got a lot of different interviews that I've been able to do over this short period of time. And I've been really blessed by they're just people like you and I. You know, it's like they get a voice and they get to share. And it's incredible. It's an incredible journey. So it's all, you know, one thing's good for one and something else is good for another. And
yeah, for sure.
Not right, wrong, good or bad. It just is, right?
Right.
Okay. Take care. And let's.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. You take care of yourself.
I will. You too. And enjoy Scottsdale.
Thanks, Jack.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Thanks for hanging out with me and watching the latest episode of The Natural Healing Reel. Take care. And I'll see you on the next one.